Good morning and welcome to Viewpoint, a weekly public service program heard each Sunday morning on WHMI. It's brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best unlimited network with two locations in Howell. I'm your host, John King. We're talking with Greg Kellogg, who's the director of the Livingston Essential Transportation Service. And there's an upcoming open house at Cleary University that will be held on February 19th from 4 till 6:30 p.m. Seeking public input on a transit master plan. And this is the final opportunity for folks to come in and talk about the transit master plan. And we'll find out more about the open house, I think, in just a few minutes. But if you will, let's kind of go back to the beginning. Start with, what is the transit master plan?
Sure, John, and let me actually go further back than that to October 1977, if you don't mind.
Well, that's going quite a ways back.
Yes, if I could just give a brief history and leading up to the master plan and
please
how
do.
LUTS operates today. So LUTS was established in October of 77 through an agreement with SEMTA, which is now SMART, down in Metro Detroit, Royal Oak area. So we were created to serve primarily seniors and individuals with disabilities, and the county created LUTS through that partnership with SEMTA to provide better access to transportation for those transit-dependent citizens of the county. Shortly afterwards, a few years after that alliance began, the county felt that it wasn't getting that much value from it, so the county withdrew from SMART, but continued to fund LETS independently as a county department. And at that time, it was mostly county funds and state rural transportation funds. And so that is how LETS operated up until about the year 2000. Again, this is primarily serving the transit-dependent population. After the 2000 census,
let me stop you there.
Sure.
So the transit-dependent population, let's define that, I guess, a little bit more fully.
Sure. These are your senior citizens who can't drive. These are people, individuals with disabilities who either who can't drive or maybe can't even get rides from their loved ones because they ride in a wheelchair. And, of course, you need a specially equipped vehicle to transport folks who ride in wheelchairs. So, and that is what our service has, a big part of it has been, is paratransit, providing rides for folks who are wheelchair bound or who can't otherwise drive in a regular vehicle.
Okay, so that takes us up to 2000.
Yes, and then in 2000, after the 2000 census and the growth of the 90s that I think everyone's familiar with, population and population density reached a point where the federal government designated a portion of Livingston County as a small urban area. Now, what that means for us is that where we had been just primarily state and county funded up until then, that opened up a lot of additional federal transit funds for us to access. So we became a direct recipient of funds from the Federal Transit Administration, and that allowed us to essentially our budget was doubled after 2000, and with this additional funding, we were able to open up access to the system for more people who hadn't been able to use it before. So just to give you an example of what that means, our ridership in the year of 2000, we provided 55,000 trips. 10 years later, after the urban designation in 2010, we provided 108,000 trips. So that is nearly doubled our ridership in that 10-year period, having those other transportation grants available. And also during that same time, while overall ridership increased, our proportion of non-transit dependent citizens, so non-senior and non-disabled ridership, began to increase too, actually at a faster rate than the overall ridership increase. So we started to have some other folks access the system, like young people and students who ride to charter schools or to public schools where parents may not be able to catch the school bus for whatever reason. And other folks who ride to grocery shopping, to other medical trips that may not be They may not be wheelchair bound, but they just are putting strains on their family members to get them to appointments. So this allowed lots more people to access the system. Now, fast forward to about 2015, our ridership increased again from that 108,000 to about 150,000. Okay, so as we continue to expand, we continue to have more riders. So what that tells you is the more our system is available to new riders, the more ridership we get, which indicates that there is a demand out there. What's called a latent demand, pent-up demand for service that we couldn't provide before. So now, thanks to in 2018, just last year, thanks to the Board of Commissioners, they provided a $50,000 local match to our grants. All of our federal and state grants, they require a local match. And our fare box, our passenger fares do provide a portion of that local match. But we were at a point where we had more federal and state grant funds than the fares allowed us to match, okay? So that $50,000 contribution from the board opened up several hundred more thousand dollars in grant funds, which we used at their direction to expand service into the outlying townships, the northern and southern tier townships that we had trouble reaching before. Our primary service area is, the Grand River Corridor. We do a lot of service, and of course we've always been countywide, but we just had trouble, integrating the rides in the far off townships, farther away from Howell you get. So this appropriation really allowed us to expand into those areas. And even in the 6 months or so that we've had this expansion in full effect, we've increased our vehicle miles driven without changing anything else. We've increased our ridership again and our vehicle miles driven by more than 10%, which indicates we are going farther out into those outlying townships. So at that point, we knew that we're going to have trouble expanding without either additional efficiencies to, because we know we still needed, we needed yet more service because we still have many more calls than reservations that we could accept. And the biggest complaint is that we normally we would need about 3 days notice to get someone a ride, unless they're right along Grand River, and that's not necessarily convenient for most people's schedules. They need a ride the next day, or they need a ride the same day. So we knew that we still had more work to do. Now this grant from MDOT became available for transportation planning, and together with the Livingston County Transportation Coalition, we applied for this grant to study transit in Livingston County as a whole. In 2007, there was a small, narrowly focused study that focused on LETs, and we did that study recommended new technology options, which we did integrate. We upgraded our technology at that time, which also helped increase our efficiency. But this study we knew needed to be broader, and looking at the entire Livingston County transportation infrastructure as a whole. So we applied for that. We were successful in getting a $150,000 grant from MDOT, and what we wanted to do is to study the county's public transportation infrastructure as a whole with the goal of improving access to everyone and more people even yet than we currently are. Again, we knew we have a lot of demand from not necessarily transit-dependent riders that we couldn't reach. We have Cleary University expanding service. We have two new big medical facilities in the county on Latson Road, and then of course on Chalice Road with U of M. We have increasing development in terms of shopping, and so all these things that people want to get to, but they have trouble accessing those things through our system just because of our limited availability. So what we wanted to do was look at this issue with with the board, the county board's in the context of the county board's strategic vision of promoting economic development and quality of life, while still being fiscally responsible and accountable to our taxpayers. So, what this study is doing is looking at new ways to improve our current Let's Dial a Ride service, and also new transportation options that that riders may who haven't looked at Let's before, is something that they want to use, that they may also want. So we started this, and after we secured the grant in May of 2018, last spring, and we started with an analysis of the county's current demographics, the county's commuting patterns, transportation needs from stakeholder groups. We convened seniors, people with disabilities, commuters, employers, students, healthcare providers, and of course the chambers of commerce. Economic development is a big part of this process, and getting workers to employment, and of course getting employers employees that they need. There's been a shortage in the manufacturing sector in Livingston County, and all these things were important to us in reviewing the current system. So, and they also looked at Let's ridership numbers and Let's budget and all of our funding sources. So, after they took this did this analysis of our current existing conditions, they formulated some recommendations. This is the consulting firm AECOM that we're working with. They are a nationwide, in fact, worldwide transportation consulting company who has actually done a lot of work locally here in Livingston County in Michigan. So they came up with some recommendations to not only improve our current system, but also to offer some new services. And that took place over last summer. We went to several local events. We went to the Fowlerville Fair. We went to some local farmers markets. And then we had a big online survey in August. And this was open for about a month, and we got over 800 unique responses, we were able to verify that these were all different people responding. And what we came up with between the recommendations and what folks said that they told us what they wanted in a transportation system is some recommendations like access to Detroit Metro Airport, a service to the airport, scheduled service along Grand River, commuter shuttles to Oakland County and Ann Arbor, and also improved non-motorized transportation like walking and bike trails. So after we had this list of recommendations, we further refined that and attached some costs to it and some potential ways of funding it. And so we also refined some different ways that we may move forward with governance, whether it be with a department of the county or some other organizational method. So after all that was done, we came up with a kind of a draft plan, and that is what is being presented at this February 19th open house. So people are going to have the opportunity to look at the recommendations, see what they cost, see the time frame for implementation, how likely these are to be implemented, and how soon they can be implemented. So that is what we're encouraging folks to come out for on the 19th, is to take a look at what we've come up with and give us your opinion and give us your feedback on what you think is most important. Now I do want to say that we, in addition to these new services, it is absolutely our North Star is focusing on our current riders and who we were created to serve. So I want to note that all these recommendations for new services do absolutely no harm to our current Dial-A-Ride service. So that is my priority. I think the board shares that priority. But we absolutely don't want to take anything away from the folks that rely on us the most for their day-to-day needs. These are people that go to doctor's offices every day. Our dialysis centers, we serve several dialysis patients that need to go several times a week. We are not going to take any service away from those people. So we're trying to explore ways to improve this system, and bring in new ways of funding and new ways of providing that service without affecting that population.
So the master plan draft that's going to mm-hmm. be on display at the open house coming up on February 19th at the Johnson Center at Clear University, while Letts is at the centerpiece of it, it doesn't only involve Letts. There are some other things that are involved in this in terms of like bike and pedestrian improvements.
That's exactly right, John. So again, the study 10 years ago was focused on Letts. This time we know Letts is a piece of it. That is what I think the community, when they think of public transit in Livingston County, Letts comes to mind. But there's more to it. There is the non-motorized piece. If you're going to do things like implement scheduled service and a fixed route along Grand River with bus stops, which rose to the top of on the first survey that we did, that rose to the top of new services that we could potentially have. You need to be able to access those bus stops. And of course, this county is fairly rural, except for that Grand River corridor. So in order for someone who lives several miles away from Grand River to access these bus stops, they would need to be able to get there somehow. And that is why we're looking at sidewalks and pedestrian improvements as well. Now, nowadays there are lots of developments, a lot more developments right on Grand River, where there, I think, and the planners also agree that a significant portion of Letts ridership, maybe up even up to 10 or 12% of our current ridership that we serve with Dial-A-Ride could get to this fixed route service on Grand River. That's we do enough service right along that corridor to so that a lot of those folks may be able to use the regular service. So a lot of these things are, components of this overall plan. And importantly, our planners at AECOM for the Transit Master Plan, they considered the county's master plan that the Planning Department just finalized last year in 2018. They of course considered the master plan in the context of the county's overall plan. We're not out here just doing this on our own. We're looking at the Board of Commissioners' strategic vision. We're looking at the county master plan and all the different ways that transportation fits into that. So then of course things that are kind of common sense, I think, like improving Letts efficiency in its Dial-A-Ride system. So one stat that stood out was that 95%, almost 95% of Letts vehicle trips are for one person. Now, that doesn't mean there's only one person on the bus, but it means that if the bus is going from point A to point B, only one person is making that trip. So what and that's to be expected in a Dial-A-Ride, a strictly Dial-A-Ride service. But what we want to see is more people on that trip going from A to B. So that could mean buses pulling up to a senior center every Thursday at noon to go on a shopping trip or a dining trip. Getting more people to take shared trips is a way to free up efficiency. And you can throw as much money at a Dial-A-Ride system as you can and still have it be somewhat inefficient. So we are never going to get away from the curb-to-curb service. Of course, a lot of our passengers need that personalized service, but we need to pick off some of the other rides where we can and group those into some scheduled service and try to increase efficiency that way. Also, decrease the size of some of our vehicles. We've always run large buses, medium buses. We're going to start, according to some of the preliminary recommendations that came out of this plan, we're going to start to integrate smaller vehicles too. So, yes, it looks at everything. It looks at also the, like I said, commuter options to Ann Arbor, to the airport. The thing, surprisingly, John, that rose to the top through this entire process, wherever we went, through all the surveys, is service to the airport. So essentially, an airport shuttle service. So that is something we're going to be looking at seriously. Not something that people would associate with LUTs, of course, but and it would probably, you know, it would have a different name or different brand attached to it. But that, if that is something that the community is interested in, and that's that's definitely a worthwhile public transportation project, because it's keeping vehicles off the road, keeping congestion off the roads at the airport. Most county residents have been to Metro Airport, and it's not a fun place to be. So any kind of improvements to the public transportation infrastructure that could be done, that's, you know, we're looking at that. So
again, on the open house on Tuesday, February 19th, 4 to 6:30. So for folks that want to come out, what are they going to find there? What can they expect?
Well, they're going to find lots of materials that we have created throughout this process. Like I said, there's an analysis of our existing infrastructure, including an analysis of the existing LUT system, so folks can see exactly where we are today and where we've come from. And then they're going to see several recommendations for improvements to LUTs and for new services, things like regional connections and all the things I've talked about today. They are going to have the opportunity to look at those in detail and then give us their feedback. And there's going to be two presentations from our planners, one at 4:30 and one at 5:30. Now, those are going to be about a half an hour long apiece, but I want to emphasize that you don't have to be there for those necessarily, and you don't have to be there the whole time. You can show up whenever you want. If you have 5 minutes to pop in, please stop in and check it out, and let us know what you think. I do want to mention our website. If you go to livegov.com, that's livegov.com/LUTs, there is all kinds of all the information we've released so far pertaining to this study is on that website. So it would be probably a good idea to go there first and check out, if you're interested, and check out that information, or if you can't spend too long at the workshop, then just kind of look at the website and then, stop by and tell us what you think about all that. And I'm going to be there to answer any questions. We'll have lots of staff there to answer questions.
And then from this point, once you get that final public input piece on the draft plan, just quickly, what's the timeline from there?
From there, we'll have a final report sometime, hopefully in March. And in March, we're going to present that final report to the County Board of Commissioners. And at that point, it will be informational. We'll present the options and the funding options. We're going to divide it into different time spans. So you'll have a short term, medium term, and long term options. And then again, with our grant funding, the local match is an important part. So we'll also have different options for different levels of local match, local funding, and where that may be able to come from. So that will be presented to the board. Of course, they will let us know if there's anything that they want to prioritize based on their strategic vision and their priorities. And we'll, of course, we'll do that. We'll pick up where they feel is most important, and then we will make recommendations for what we think what else could be accomplished within the budget and time frame. But again, it's the very next step will be to have that final report and present it to the public and to the board. John, I just want to elaborate on some of the benefits of public transit, especially here in Livingston County, given our unique demographics and situation. So an amazing stat that came out of this study that came from SEMCOG and census data is that currently people age 65 and older account for about 17% of the county's population. In the next 10 years, 40% of the current population will be age 65 plus. To me, that's staggering. From 17 to over 40% will be 65 plus. So you're going to have a lot of folks who are no longer able to drive, and we know that a trend lately has been for folks to age in place. Maybe you've heard that term before. Fewer senior citizens are going to assisted living facilities, more are living independently. So unless family members are going to meet their needs to transport them to outings and appointments and other services they may need to get to, they're going to need a way to get around. And typically they would turn to public transit. So that is an important reason that the service is needed here. Of course, economic development, getting people to and from work, to and from shopping. I think the fixed route service on Grand River would be helpful there. More young people are choosing not to own their own personal vehicle. Clear University has an increasing on-campus population. They're kind of confined to that Latson Road, the intersection there on Grand River. Especially the international students who don't have a vehicle, or others who don't have a vehicle. Healthcare, we have several new facilities in the county, especially the big one on Chalice Road, where congestion is already a big problem there at Grand River and Chalice. So we've been discussing new services with them to try to reduce that congestion. Of course, there are environmental concerns. Half of our fleet is already runs on propane, so we've tried to take a lead there. But just getting cars off the road in any capacity is good for the environment. And, of course, just to reduce congestion all along Grand River is a key part of this. So those are some of the things that that people may be interested in and may not know about here in the county, and of course just the growing density and growing population as a whole is definitely amenable to more public transit services.
All right, so again, the final public open house coming up Tuesday, February 19th, 4 to 6:30, at the Johnson Center at Cleary University. Details online, livegov.com/Let's. Greg Kellogg, thank you so much.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
That's it for this edition of Viewpoint, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best unlimited network with two locations in Howell. Opinions expressed on Viewpoint are not necessarily those of WHMI staff, management, or its advertisers. If you have a comment about today's show or a suggestion for a future segment, call us during normal business hours at 517-546-0860 or send an email to news@whmi.com. Until next Sunday, I'm John King on WHMI, Livingston County Zone 93.5.